And we're back.
But that's the opening salvo.
Yes.
Of Mouse CD sound system. I've given you an opportunity.
Yeah, today's episode is LCD sound system. This is happening. This podcast is happening. Why doesn't Gerber like it?
Yeah.
Well, first and foremost, do you want to do a little... do you have anything to add to your last cast, as is tradition?
I don't really remember much of it.
Okay, it was all just a haze.
At this point, because we banged out three pretty quick. Then yep. We took a few weeks off because of the holidays.
As per usual.
And you had assigned me LCD sound system.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening.
Yes, this is fappening.
I'm cutting back on my use of the word fappening.
Oh, okay, that's good. 2018.
And for its current climate and out of respect for the victims.
New year, new Gerber.
Cut out toxic people.
Yourself. Okay, so
I just stopped talking.
Okay, so you're good with the last cast in terms of
what we did.
I
had to defend something.
Yeah, it was
AWOL Nation.
AWOL Nation.
Oh man, I got one of their tracks of their upcoming album that comes out in 3 weeks.
And you're all about
that
it.
That was on repeat for me.
So that it's a new song.
Yeah.
Okay. So which is getting you excited for their newest music?
Oh yeah.
Okay. That and Perfect Circle coming.
I think I'm expecting new Tool and a Perfect Circle. I've been told as much through the press.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of Maynard coming up.
Yeah, well, that's good.
At his finest. He can bust out the Pussifer albums because they can be like quirky and he can like write lyrics about like whatever he wants.
Okay.
But the Tool and a Perfect Circle, that's like he's...
Wait, so is Perfect Circle more like conventional in a sense?
The lyrics are supposed to be, remember how here we go, episode one we did anima.
Yeah,
anima's the Jungian term to, I think it means how a man and a woman have masculine and feminine aspects to their personality.
Yeah,
so he says he started his first band was Tool, that's like the masculine side of his personality. And then with the Perfect Circle he supposedly writes from the feminine side.
Interesting. See, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell the people about this.
Wish I would have said it last time.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
But this is the beauty of the cast. We can go back. Yeah. We can go into the future.
Time is not linear.
Yeah. And also a Perfect Circle is like political kind of lyrics now.
Okay.
They've released some finished tracks off the upcoming album, which we don't know when the album comes out.
Right.
But, oh man, I feel like Hit Collider or Alternative Press, one of those, like a serious music podcast right now.
Because you're giving the people the info that they need. Like, when is the album coming?
They've already released some tracks. And, but I like everything I've heard so far.
Okay, cool.
Nice. Two old note tracks. We won't probably hear. We'll hear like one song.
They'll drop it at 3 a.m.
I hope they pull Beyonce.
Yeah. It's Lemonade Part 2.
And all their songs are about, yeah.
It's about Jay-Z cheated on them.
That would be amazing.
All right, cool. All right, so let's
What's the podcast called?
Why Don't You Like This? So that's my first question to you, I guess. LCD Sound System, you gave it some spins. This is happening. It's their third album.
And you predict, right now you're thinking I don't like it.
I'm thinking you do like it because LCD Sound System has very... They're great instrumentalists. They're really musically inclined. Off that, I would say that you did like it. I don't know. Uh-oh.
I think...
Whoopsies.
I think it's kind of too early to call, but there may be something inherently very difficult about what we're doing.
Which is?
Forcing music upon each other and expecting the other one to like it. I don't even know if it can happen.
I mean, you made a good point that the better, more entertaining cast is the one where the other person is vehemently like, what the fuck? Like, I disrespect you as a person.
Well, yeah, why'd you make me do this?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you're saying that you didn't like the album.
I'm like, as of right now, we're going to go through it.
Yeah.
But I feel like completely neutral on it.
Oh, that's weird.
I've had like 3 weeks and I only listened to it twice.
Okay.
The second time I liked it a lot more.
That's fair. I mean, I think that's the type of album it is because like every song is 7 to 8 minutes long for the most part. There's no radio hits. It's not like a radio album.
Right.
And that's actually the comparison I was trying to make. I have that in my notes, is like to Tool, because you were talking about that a lot on the Anima album, where it's like there's a song that's like 9 minutes and that's why you loved it, you know?
Mm.
So like even the first song on the album, Dance Yourself Clean, the, it doesn't drop, like whatever you want to call that drop, for like more than half the song.
Yeah.
It's just building up for so long, and that's why I love them, is because they do stuff like that.
All right. Then, so walk me through how the album came into your life.
Right. So James Murphy, who's the lead guy of this album, is like, if I'm creating a board of members to my life to like consult me. To what?
Life coaches?
Yeah, like life coaches. He would be on that board of directors or whatever, board of Michael advisors.
Okay.
So his story is really interesting because he's like the opposite of Kanye in the sense that like he just is so not into being a musician in a sense. Like he loves music and stuff like that, but he like has no interest in like being famous and like being glamorous. And there's an interview that he has where he talks about how like he didn't really even become successful until he was like in his late 20s. He came out with a song with like Losing My Mind, and a lot of people hated it. And you know, he was like going through bands as he was growing up. He wasn't really successful in any of it. And I feel like we've talked about it a lot, where we're like kind of middling, like we're just kind of going through life and you're like, is this it?
Yeah.
Like he like suffered through that a lot, where it's like he wasn't even a failure. He was just like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so he wasn't even doing anything spectacular, either successfully or to be a failure.
But was he living off making music?
Yeah, for the most part. He was like a DJ first. So he used to like spin like old vinyl tracks of like obscure music that he liked. And that's how he kind of like got a cult following a little bit. What happened is he made that song Losing My Mind and he finally found someone that liked it. But you know when like you show someone something and they don't like it and they're like, oh, well, like, instead of saying they like it, they just like ask you like a random question about it. Like, oh, what, how'd you think of that thing that you did?
Oh yeah. That's like when you read somebody's script.
Right. And they're like, oh, what? Yeah. So he said he ran into that like a lot, but I remember discovering them through a buddy of mine. And then at around the same time, they had a Netflix documentary called Shut Up and Play the Hits.
Yeah, currently. I remember seeing that.
Yeah, and basically, they were going to retire as a band.
I remember that.
Obviously, they've come back since then to come out with another album and to retour because, I don't know, and they needed money, I guess. Who knows? But their last show was supposed to be Madison Square Garden.
MSG.
Yeah, they did all that. I remember watching the documentary, and at the end, I fucking cried. I wasn't like bawling, but I was like, holy shit, this shit is legit. Because after the last show, he's standing in the equipment room and he's like crying because he's really sad because he knows it's over. And I was like, this guy is awesome because of where he's coming from. So everyone should watch that doc if they want to get a like kind of sense of who he is. And then all his, like, to me, like, I consider this like what, dance, electronic dance music or whatever. But
yeah,
it's not like EDM to me. Like, this is what I think electronic music should sound like. Like, there's a lot of instruments that they still use. Obviously, a lot of it is with like computer keyboards and programming and stuff, but it's a mix. And
yeah,
it's good. Yeah.
Here's what surprised me about you picking it, though. Because how many albums do they have? Several, right?
Yeah, they have 4
now. Okay. I thought it was like 7 or 8.
No.
But that's just a...
But this one's considered like their best album by far, like critically and...
I did glance at the Wikipedia, like, scores of, like, the Metacritic and stuff.
Yeah, like, when it came out, it was like, this is one of the best albums of the year kind of deal from, like, Pitchfork and shit like that.
But what surprised me was that every track is, like, these things that build and build. A lot of percussion.
Yep.
Do you... And I was surprised that you... Because I feel like you're, like, not... Like, you have... When it comes to music, your attention span... I didn't know you had that long of an attention span when it comes to music.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a compliment or...
Insult or front-handed insult.
So, because when I first... My first pass, I was like, what if he took the all these parts to the songs and truncated all the parts? Mm-hmm. Would it be better or worse, or I don't know.
Mm. So you're saying that potentially, like, the album feels potentially bloated?
Not bloated. I just thought it was. I wasn't expecting. Yeah. It wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah. I mean, for example, Dance Yourself Clean, what makes that drop so good is that it takes them so long to get there, you know, for me. That's like my impression of that song, is that when it finally does drop, it's great. And there's another song that's like my favorite song on their album, which is their sixth song on the album, You Wanted to Hit. There's a part like 2 minutes in where they set it up where that's where the drop's supposed to be. And like, if you were the Chainsmokers or some like typical pop radio band, that's where you would put it, and then instead they loop it all over again, and it goes another minute or so before it actually drops.
They're edging.
Yeah, they're edging. So yeah, that's a good way to put it. They're like good edgers.
Well, thank you so much. I like that song. It's track six, you said.
Yeah,
I like the refrain of "We won't be your babies anymore."
Yeah, we won't be.
It's catchy.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my favorite song on the album, but. Yeah, that's an interesting point that I guess you didn't think I'd have the attention span for that.
Okay, so play a little bit of track one, just anywhere. Cause, like you said, all the tracks are pretty long.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say real quick, the other Tool comparison I wanted to make is that you were saying one of Tool's albums is based on a math problem.
Those guys. The Fibonacci sequence, which
is, what is that again?
It's, It's 1 + 1 = 2 + 1 = 3 +
right, it makes that 2 pyramid.
5. It makes that gold, like, spiral thing, which is found in nature, and seashells and plants or something.
Yeah, James Murphy did, like, a math thing, too, where he took the data from a tennis match or a tennis tournament.
Who is it, the Williams sisters?
Yeah, maybe. They're grunts. But no, he, like, took all the data from, like, I think it was the data of when the points were scored and stuff, and he took all that data and transformed it into beats and rhythm, and then made a whole mixtape of that, of songs based on tennis matches.
I saw a film called Baby Driver where he made a lot of mixtapes, and he got in big trouble. So I'm glad that didn't happen.
Did you like that movie? Jim.
This isn't a movie podcast. Okay, so
it doesn't matter.
But okay, before you play it too, is he... You're saying band, but you're also just talking about the one guy. Is it a Trent Reznor situation?
A bit, yeah. Like, there's a ton of musicians in LCD Sound System.
Is it a revolving door of musicians?
There's a couple mainstays, like the pianist and the drummer. But it was started mainly by him, and he's definitely like the... who's the guy in Maroon 5?
Adam Levine, yeah, I think. I don't know. He might be on The Voice 2 or something. Who
yeah,
knows?
He's like the Trent Reznor, Adam Levine of LCD. Like, without him, there is no band. But it's not just him, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She said goodbye.
All right, so here's the first song of the album. This is like their closest thing to their radio hit for this album. It was the first single, and...
I picture you, like, studying to this or something, or drawing. Yeah, when all the drums kick in and...
Yeah, so it has, like, an electronic feel for sure, but, you know, he's actually singing. He's, you know, his drummer's actually drumming. It's not all electronic.
I like all the drums and percussion on the album.
Yeah. Yeah, but what's interesting about that song is that you heard him sing there, but when they were doing the SM Madison Square Garden final gig, the tickets for their concert were so expensive because resellers and scalpers that they did a bunch of shows before that so people could see them, and he lost his voice because he was doing too many live shows, like back to back to back to back.
That's what, you got to go to some voice coach, like a lady named Eleanor.
Yeah, who's classically trained.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the first song on the album that gives you a vibe of like what they're like. Most of their songs are kind of like that. They're long, 7 to 8 minutes.
So if I put on another LCD Sound System album, is it going to sound pretty close to that? Or are the songs shorter? I guess I'm all about trying to just fucking get in and out with these guys.
listen to one of them, listen to all of them. That's what you're trying to figure out. I mean, they're obviously different, but yeah, it's the same vibe. It's like all, it's all dance electronic music.
Why is this one considered their magnum opus?
It's just their most refined, I would say.
It's them at peak songwriting. Yeah,
it's
stuff.
Just, it's everything is just so crisp.
Yeah, I got a Talking Heads vibe a little bit from the
oh, yeah,
first
for sure,
album.
For sure.
Not that I know a lot about fucking Talking Heads, but.
No, I picked this album because I wanted to give you something that wasn't hip-hop. Like, I didn't want everything I picked to always be, like, a hip-hop album.
Holler at your boy. I'm going to cut that out. And also, I got, like, a you know that song Heartbeats by The Knife?
I know The Knife. I don't know if I know that song specifically.
It's the only Knife song, right? I know. No, I think it's a brother, sister, maybe?
Yeah, that's what that's what I meant, siblings. They're, like, Swedish, right? Finnish?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they wear masks.
Yeah.
Because they're weird.
I like that part. And then the chorus sounds like Hang Me Up to Dry by Cold War Kids.
Cold War Kids drop. Mm-hmm. Didn't think you had that in you.
I'm pretty cool. I'm a pretty cool guy. I can talk to young people.
Yep. All right. So let's play. I'll go to the next song now. And what's...
Track two.
What's unique about this next song is that...
Okay.
Drop Girls. Ooh, Gerber. It was a quick pass on this one. Oh, sipping his coffee. He's too good.
Comedians in cars.
Getting Dunkin'.
Who end up at Dunkin' because they have a splitting headache.
Yeah. This is also another, like, this actually was probably on the radio more than the other one because it's their shortest song.
This was on the radio.
Yeah.
I don't like this track. I think it's filler.
It's very simple, obviously, in terms of the lyrics.
I think it all comes down to the lyrics, though.
You're a lyrics first guy.
Yeah. No, but maybe. Just drunk girls, like, come on.
He says drunk guys, too.
Well, that's very 2018 of him. Yeah. But you like it? It's a banger for you?
No, I actually agree. It's one of their weaker songs, like, musically. But what makes this song interesting is that there's the music video to it is a bunch of them dressing up in panda costumes. Like, a lot of, there's, like, extras in the video that are dressed in panda costumes. And it started, like, a cult thing that when you went to their concert, you would dress, they, like, super fans would dress as pandas.
How do you know it's not the Jackass guys?
I mean, I don't, I guess. Well, yeah.
There's got to be some crossover here.
yeah, whenever you see those people wearing those outfits, you know they're LCD Sound System fans because of the music video. So that's probably the best part of that song is the costume cult thing that it created.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, fair. Agree that it's pretty simplistic and kind of... If there was a filler for that out for this album, that might be it, or it might be their weakest song in the album, which is fair.
It was my only flinch out of the what is it, 8 tracks?
Yeah, 6, 7, 8. Yep.
All right, what are you doing to me now? Track 3.
Yep. This is some good like alien bar shit.
Like the cantina in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, I don't know. Star Wars is for nerds. Obviously, you know, I'm a cool guy. I already established, but there are scenes in the cantina and there's music.
There's no time to watch Star Wars. You're just finally getting, like, always getting laid and just.
That's correct. Yeah. When you're doing dope ass shit, Star Wars has to wait. I'm sorry.
So I don't know. I always got a weird space vibe out of that song, but.
I wrote. And I'm gonna read this in my most pretentious manner.
Mm-hmm. British accent, go.
This is kind of catchy, but suffers from a lack of a bottom or a bass sound, and the ding of the bells makes me think I'm receiving a text message. I forgot I wrote all that, so I laughed halfway through. So to recap, it's kind of catchy.
It's such a specific criticism of a song.
That's what I'm trying to do. I wish it was more bassy.
You might as well say, like, the bell reminds me when I was 4 and my mother would call me for dinner.
And, yeah, there's, I guess, a dinging sound, apparently, that made me thought I was receiving a text and reminding me that, in fact, I'm not.
I'm only listening to this song that I'm only half enjoying.
Yeah.
Okay.
As you play through these, like, I don't know, usually by this point in my weekend, this is a Sunday PS.
Yep.
Now, don't you know that? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying for people.
I'm here live.
What I do is like my weekends, and then I have to like wash my brain with sleep and stuff.
Okay.
And then by this time around Sunday, I'm like a somewhat of a normal. I feel okay.
Right, but which sucks because that's about an eight hour yeah. window.
I got about 8 hours to enjoy myself, yeah. and it's usually like with music and stuff.
And then
like
Monday
that.
Morning, you're like, "Fuck!"
Yeah, oh man,
it's all over. It starts all over again. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good life.
Thank you.
All right, so that's it. Just okay. Next,
yeah, okay. Track 4. So this kind of stuff is really indie rock to me.
Yeah, for sure, I agree.
Like the yeah, yeah,
but
yes.
This is the part of like the album that like I feel like it is electronic, but this is how it differentiates itself.
Yeah,
you know, like this song sounds a little different than their other songs.
It's not the
same thing, and that's okay.
I picture it as a song where you give the girl you have a crush on the left earbud, and so you guys can listen to it together. And then you make eyes.
Yeah, and it's Michael Cera and the girl from... It's Juno, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you stare at each other deeply for 10 seconds, and then she hands it back to you and says, "That sounds awful." And you never see her again.
That's the reality, as opposed to the movie. Yeah, in the movie world, it's like, oh, how could these two 13-year-olds even know what this song is? Like, they're so smart and cool.
Yeah.
Right. All right, next.
Track 5.
I Can Change. This song goes out to Gerber as James Murphy tries to tell you
that I should change,
that he can change.
Alright,
make a fan out of you.
Oh, I see. I wrote "You Too" vibe.
I don't feel it.
Yeah.
Aren't you a YouTube fan?
Love him.
Yeah. That's interesting that you're a YouTube fan.
Why?
They get so much shit for being like so
Mainstream,
like all in your face. I feel like that's something you wouldn't like.
You have not spent time with the YouTube podcast.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not that big of a...
You receive an enema of YouTube-ness.
I mean, I'm sure one of their albums is on your list, right?
Yeah, but I almost don't want to do it because of that podcast.
They
like,
already...
We can never... Yeah, they talk about every album, and it's like we're not going to do a better job. But maybe it's like, you know, my third or fourth tier.
How many albums does YouTube have?
Like studio albums, I'm gonna ballpark like 13 or 14.
And does this podcast that they do still go? Is it still happening, or is it over?
It's kind of over.
Like they don't record anymore.
They did. Well, YouTube just released one like a month ago, so they did an episode on that.
So how many episodes are there? Is it one per album?
There's like 20. No, because the first three episodes they did the first three albums.
Oh, okay.
And then they slowed it down because I think right. It became super popular.
Which was my eventual question is like, what happens when they run out of albums? Or are they just talking about the same albums over and over again?
They jokingly said, "Let's start it over and just talk about every album again."
Right.
But they also have episodes where they don't talk about an album.
At all. Yeah.
They have a couple episodes where they just talk about... Or there's one episode where they talk about Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
I don't know
which
what that
was
is.
They tried to do Spider-Man on Broadway, mm-hmm. and everyone kept getting injured playing Spider-Man. It was a troubled production.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
you
yeah.
two did the music for it.
Oh, I remember that. And they ended up just canceling it.
Yeah.
Because some stunt guy just hurt himself on
two
the wires,
of them,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there was like other problems.
Yeah.
Then they do one where they actually interview you two. And then they kind of stopped after that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, so you two went on the pod.
They went to you two.
I like how you took the opposite angle of what they're doing. Like, they found an album, like a band that they loved together and decided to come together and like appreciation for their music.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we're just like, let's find that shit that we hate and give it to the other person and make them miserable.
Yeah.
But okay.
Hollywood's always about flipping stuff on its ear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do Titanic, but in a car.
Isn't that
Baby Driver.
Keanu Reeves movie.
Oh,
Speed.
Speed.
Yeah.
What was the number of the bus in Speed?
Don't remember.
25.
And then they did Speed 2, which is basically Titanic.
What about William Dafoe is the iceberg?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, classic one.
All right. Let's go on to the next song. This is my favorite song on the album.
Let's let it breathe a little then.
And you said you liked this song too?
Yeah, it gets really catchy.
Yeah, exactly. But like, this song is almost 9 minutes long, and I feel like when they wait to drop the part that is the catchiest part of the song, that's what makes it so good.
Because they're withholding.
They're really edging you, yeah. That's really the theme of this album, is you're getting edged hard. But they finish you off. Don't you worry.
How dare you in this climate, in this current climate.
Let's see if we can get to it.
Mm.
Oh.
I thought that was it.
It is, but
it's not good enough for you.
Well, okay. You get the idea.
That one kind of sounds like the Cars, too.
The what?
The Cars.
I don't know what that is.
The band.
There's a band called The Cars?
We're getting some poppage.
Okay.
Can you put it back in its holster?
Dude, that was such a tone of like, I'm at your house and you always use coasters for your coffee table.
Get a coaster under it.
And I didn't do it. And then instead of just explaining yourself, you were just like, and you just pointed.
Well, my mom usually
pottery barred like coffee table cannot be soiled with my cold water.
Yep.
Okay. Should we just move on? Keep it going.
Oh, track 7.
Pow. This is like more of their traditional old shit. This is Losing Your Mind. These two songs are very similar, where he's almost talking.
Yeah, the spoken word stuff.
Yeah, like this is the first song he came out with that like became famous, and that's why a lot of people didn't like it, because they were like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is not even a song.
Yeah, so, but you like this.
It's pretty, it's unique. Like, mm-hmm. How many songs do you know that are like this, that could be on an album? Like,
and you like when they say pow, 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 pow.
Sure. Is that the part you did not enjoy?
No, I can deal with that. But that song is I'm conflicted, because it's spoken word on top of good music.
So again, it goes back to like the lyrics matter a lot to you.
I think it's if you're trying to get into a band,
which is interesting because you like the AOL Nation album.
Yeah, but that's, I don't have a point to make about that. I was going to say, when you're trying to get into a band, it's so hard if that band is so outside the box and so unconventional.
That's fair.
Does that make sense?
I see what you're saying, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because that's like basically throwing you in the deep end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Of their music or whatever.
And as cool a guy as I am, and as progressive I am, mm-hmm. As I am with music.
Mm-hmm. It's still tough.
It's still a challenge.
Well, I guess my goal here then in this pod for however long it lives is to find something that you're like,
well, that's ominous,
unanimously like about, which I may not be able to do. I don't know,
right?
Because I feel like any hip-hop album is not happening. 0% chance.
It's gonna be a toughie.
So, and I have other albums on my list that aren't hip-hop, so it might be one of them, but whew.
All right,
it's tough.
What if you eventually have to try and reassign me an album we've already done and I don't catch on?
You care so little about these albums that you don't even remember that we already reviewed it. Yeah, man, this is a. I feel like you're my dad right now. Just can't get your approval.
Dad, is Pow Pow the last one on the album?
No, there's two more. But my note about that is the last two are actually my least favorite, and I have been guilty of stopping the album after the Pow Pow. Like, I'm just like, I'm good. One's called Home.
Is that the last track?
Yeah, that's
the last
track.
That was my favorite one on the album.
Oh, that's funny. It's because, it is more mellow and like...
There's a song on the last Kings of Leon album, and it's the same bass line.
Kings of Leon fan. See, I'm learning so much.
KOL. I'm a pretty cool guy, and I think that listening to Kings of Leon proves that.
Yeah. I guess I just never realized it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Falwell tribe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the overarching thing about me and this band and James Murphy in particular is I feel like with a lot of musicians and people that are talented, and I feel like we talked about this for a little bit, it can be sensationalized. Like, for someone like Kanye, he's so braggadocious about himself and he puts himself on such a high pedestal. It's just like, I'm never going to be able to make music that he makes, right? He's obviously extremely talented, but he also makes it aware to everyone else how talented he is. Yeah. So it makes it seem like, oh, this is something he was born with, like lightning struck him and chose him to be like this great hip hop artist, right?
Yeah.
James Murphy has this exactly opposite perspective where he was basically saying like, dude, I was like a nobody for so long. And people in their early 20s come up to me and be like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not a successful musician. And and he'll tell them like, dude, you're already way further than I was at your age. Like I still had 5 more years of just doing nothing and being nothing before something happened for me. So I think Murphy like realizes how unspecial he is and that like it's okay to be middling and try to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
And he has another thing where he talks about how he read Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace.
Yes.
Massive book. And the book is incredible, and David Foster Wallace is an incredible writer, but he read it and immediately like got depressed. You know, because he's like, I'm never going to, like David Foster Wallace wrote this at whatever age. I'm already past that age. How the fuck am I supposed to make something like this too? Yeah. Like, it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I really respect that perspective that he has. Cause I think I share that with him in some sense.
Yeah. You bring this up.
Yeah. Yeah. Constantly. So
not that there's anything wrong with it. It's a good lesson. Cause when you're young, especially in your 20s, I'm not in my 20s anymore, but I still feel this, and I get told to chill the fuck out because you want everything right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to be successful right now. You don't want to go through the suffering and the nothingness, the years and years of monotony.
Yeah, and I think he's just a good example of like, oh, it's okay because he still figured it out. You're not running out of time. You're going to be fine.
But was he? But he's probably been playing music his whole life.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
like he was in band and he was doing the DJ stuff, and then like other people started kind of copying his style in terms of the music they were choosing, and that kind of pissed him off, because he's like, whoa, those are the songs I play, you know.
Oh, okay.
But then like he kind of got over it because he's like, it doesn't matter, like I didn't make these songs, I'm just playing them, you know.
Right.
So then that's when he kind of decided to make his own music.
Right. Okay, so that was your like Jerry Springer final thought.
Yeah, for the most part, unless you wanted to add something.
And
it's great dance music. I saw them live once in Los Angeles.
And you danced your tushy off?
Yeah, because, you know, when they were like, we're done, that was maybe, I don't know, 5 years ago or something like that, or more. And I was like, oh, I'll never, and I was just getting into them. And I was like, oh, I'll never be able to see them because they're not going to tour ever again. And then, you know, there's always that thing, like all bands always say that and they always come back.
Yeah.
So in my mind, there was like a small chance of like, oh, they'll eventually come back. And then they did. And then I saw them, and they were great, and they were everything I had hoped for in terms of live music, and they're great live. Yeah, and then, yeah, it's a giant dance party basically, for an hour and a half or however long they played.
So, is Liquid Crystal Display Sound System your favorite band?
top three for sure.
Oh damn!
If like you consider Kanye like a band or an entity, that he would probably be in the top three along with LCD Sound System, and then I'm not sure what the third one would be, but yeah.
I don't know what my top three would be other than Tool.
Those are, Tool and...
Maybe they're just the top three.
They're all three?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to get into your tease?
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about this.
Uh-oh. He's going to do it on the whim.
Let me give a little stretch and a bend. I mean, I try to think of where I've already taken you.
Well, let me ask you this. The Kanye album, the LCD Sound System album, if you had to rebump one of them.
Oh, jeez.
Honestly, you seem like you had a more of an opinion about the Kanye album. Like, you're like, I really like these songs. I really hated these songs.
Yeah.
And then this album, you were kind of more like, eh. Which might be worse. Like, with art, being indifferent might be worse.
The Kanye album and that whole genre is a lot more colorful. There's a lot more to dig into and critique. Fair. If you're trying to do that, which we are.
Yeah.
And then this one is like, this was like a chiller album. Like, I got some chores to do around the house. Let me throw on Liquid Crystal's display.
Right. But what's going for, I mean, I don't know. I thought you had a better chance of liking this album than the Kanye album, but I guess I'm wrong.
I wouldn't mind, if I have an opportunity to acquire this album, I'm going to do it.
Oh.
But I'm not Amazon priming it.
It's more like, are you a perusing? You're like, oh, $3.99?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's always the final question is, will you continue to, are you going out on a second date with?
So you don't think this, 0-for-2, you don't think you would put this in regular rotation? In terms of like, I am right, actively interested in figuring out what else they have out there.
Yeah, but that makes me kind of sad.
Why?
Because
I think we're both 0 for how many we've done.
Yeah. I need to get, it deserves more of my attention.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that. That's up to you.
There's nothing I can do about the loud car radio that we're picking up. But I'm looking at my stuff.
I can't believe I even think about this.
I really didn't. What if we did an AFI album?
Oh, Silver. Isn't there a Silver something song on AFI?
The Silver and Cold is off of their breakout album.
Yeah, Silver and Cold. That's a song or that's the album?
That's a song.
I remember liking that song a lot in college.
Okay.
But I was 19 at the time, so.
And now you're 21.
Yeah, it's up to you, man.
One of my favorite albums ever by anyone is December Underground.
By AFI?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that officially it?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, I will say that I have some
experience.
I've dipped my toe in them. Let's put it that way.
Just the band, but not the album. Although I think when you put on the album, you're going to be like, oh, I've heard like two of these songs.
Silver and Cold's on that album?
No.
Oh, see?
That's off of, what the fuck is that album called? It's off of the one that made them famous, and they had a game on Madden.
Right. Are they considered, what are they, punk?
They were punk.
Emo?
No.
I don't mean that even like as an insult. Like, I've considered that like a legit.
I know. Are we still going to Hot Topic after this?
Totally.
To get some threads?
Is that where you would buy an AFI shirt back in the day?
Yeah.
All right. This might be rough.
I don't know if that was a good or a bad.
This is one of your favorite albums of all time.
And I'm going to explain in detail.
I'm sure.
Why on the next step? Because okay. I think that's my favorite part of the show.
Is when you get to go.
Out of all the no. What, hearing why it's important. Out of all the albums, why this one?
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Gerber's a bad listener. He doesn't care about my albums. He's just waiting to get to his.
Thank you again to David Vu for sitting in with me, and we're gonna go see a movie right now.
Woo. Yeah, this is not a movie exciting. Podcast, so don't even get into deets.
I just put my hand on my own stove. All right, so keep on listening to the Liquid Crystal Display Sound Systems. This is happening.
Yep.
Pick it up. It's in stores now?
Oh, yeah, they have a new album, too, American Dream, which it's not as good, but it's kind of like that album where like it's good to have them back, you know? So it's not their best album. It might be their worst album, honestly, in my opinion. But they get that power up of just like, I'm just so glad they're back and there's new music. Yeah. I don't care that it's not like they're my favorite.
Right.
So
it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And next week is AFI December Underground.
Sounds emo.
And we'll see you at the movies. You won't be you.